hair, too, Sophia mused, narrowing her eyes. With the curly brown hair? Yes, I could definitely work with that, Mimi said, her target acquired. Look how tall he is. Now who is that yummy he's talking to? If that bimbo would just move out of the way, Mimi murmured, raising an eyebrow until the alleged bimbo finally moved on, giving us a clearer shot of the man in question. I looked as well, and as a path opened up, we could now see both of the chatting men. The big guy was, well, big, tall and broad, linebacker shoulders almost. He filled out his sweater quite nicely, and as he laughed, his face lit up. Yeah, he was exactly Mimi's type. The other gentleman had wavy blonde hair that he constantly pushed behind his ears. He wore bookish glasses that really worked for him. He was long and lean and intense-looking, almost classical in his beauty. Make no mistake, this guy was geeky gorgeous, and Sophia drew in a quick breath at the sight of him. As we continued to watch the scene unfold, a third man joined them, and we all smiled. Benjamin. We headed for the kitchen immediately to say hi to our favorite man on the planet. No doubt Sophia and Mimi were also delighted to have Benjamin handle their introductions. I glanced at the two as they simultaneously worked themselves over. Mimi surreptitiously pinched both cheeks a la Scarlett O'Hara, and I saw Sophia sneak a quick boob prop. These poor guys didn't stand a chance. Benjamin caught sight of us on our way across to him and smiled. The guys opened their circle to let us in, and Benjamin enveloped all three of us in a giant hug. My three favorite girls. I was wondering when you were going to turn up. Fashionably late, as always, he teased, and we all giggled. Benjamin did that. He made us into silly schoolgirls. Hi, Benjamin, we said in unison, and it struck me how much we sounded like Benjamin's angels at that moment. Big guy and glasses stood there grinning as well, perhaps waiting for an introduction as the three of us just stared at Benjamin. He really was aged to perfection. Wavy brown hair just barely beginning to silver by his temples. He was wearing jeans, a dark blue shirt, and a pair of old cowboy boots. He could have walked right off a Ralph Lauren runway. Allow me to make some introductions here. Caroline works with Jillian, and Mimi and Sophia are her, oh, what do you call it? BFFs? Benjamin smiled, gesturing to me. Wow, BFFs! Who's been teaching you the lingo, Daddy-O? I laughed and extended my hand to Big Guy. Hi, I'm Caroline. Nice to meet you. He engulfed my hand with his paw. It actually was like a paw. Mimi was going to lose her mind with this one. His eyes were full of fun as he smiled down at me. Hey, Caroline, I'm Neil. This tool here is Ryan, he said, nodding over his shoulder at glasses. Thanks. Remind me of that the next time you can't remember your email password. Ryan laughed good-naturedly and extended his hand to me. I shook it, noticing how scorchingly green his eyes were. If Sophia had kids with this guy, they would be illegally beautiful. I made sure to handle the continued introductions as Benjamin stepped away. We began to small talk, and I chuckled as the four of them began their little getting-to-know-you dance. Neil spotted someone he knew behind me and shouted, "Hey, Parker, get your pretty boy ass over here and meet our new friends. I'm coming, I'm coming." I heard a voice say behind me, and I turned to see who was joining our group. The first thing I saw was blue. Blue sweater, blue eyes, blue, beautifully blue. Then I saw red, as I recognized who belonged to the blue. "Fucking wall banger," I hissed, frozen on the spot. His grin slid off as well as he played Place the Face for a moment. "Fucking pink nighty girl," he finally concluded. He grimaced. We stared, seething as the air turned electric between us, snapping and crackling. The four behind us had fallen silent, listening to this little interchange. Then they caught up.
"That's Wallbanger?" Sophia screeched.
"Wait a minute. That's Pink Nighty Girl?"
Neil laughed, and Mimi and Ryan snorted. My face flamed bright red as I processed this information, and Simon's sneer became that damnable smirk I'd seen that night in the hallway when I'd banged on his door and made him quit giving it to Giggler and yelled at him. When I'd been wearing...
"Pink Nighty Girl?
Pink Nighty Girl?" I choked out, beyond pissed, beyond angry, well into furious town. I stared at him, pouring all of my tension into that one look. All of the sleepless nights and lost O's and cold showers and banana thrusting and merciless wet dreams went into that one look. I wanted to level him with my eyes, make him beg for mercy. But no, not Simon, director of the International House of Orgasms. He was still smirking. Chapter 6. We stood staring at each other, waves of anger and annoyance pinging back and forth between us. We glared, he with the smirk and me with the sneer, until I noticed that our very own peanut gallery had fallen silent again, along with every other guest in the kitchen. I looked past my neighbor and saw Jillian standing next to Benjamin with an inquisitive look on her face, no doubt wondering why her protege was squaring off in the middle of her housewarming. Wait a minute. How the hell does she know Simon? Why was he even here? I felt a tiny hand on my shoulder and spun quickly to see Mimi.
"Easy, Trigger. You don't need to go nuclear at Jillian's, kay?" she whispered, smiling shyly at Simon.
I tossed her a look and turned back to him, finding him joined by our hosts.
"Caroline, I didn't realize you knew Simon. What a small world," Jillian exclaimed, clasping her hands together.
"I wouldn't say I know him, but I'm familiar with his work," I replied through clenched teeth.
Mimi danced in a circle around us like a little kid with a secret.
"Jillian, you won't believe this, but..."
she started, her voice bubbling over with barely concealed mirth.
"Mimi," I warned. "Simon is Simon from next door. Simon Wallbanger,"
Sophia cried, grasping Benjamin's arm. I'm sure she only did it so she could touch Benjamin.
"Damn it,"
I breathed as Jillian took in this information.
"No fucking way," she breathed, hand clapping over her mouth as she dropped the F-bomb.
Jillian always tried to be such a lady. Benjamin looked confused, and Simon had the decency to blush a little.
"Asshole," I mouthed to him.
"Cock blocker," he mouthed back, the smirk returning in full force. I gasped. I clenched my fists and prepared to tell him exactly what he could do with his cock blocker when Neil burst in.
"Benjamin, check this out. This little hottie here is the pink nighty girl. Can you stand it?
He laughed as Ryan struggled to keep a straight face. Benjamin's eyes widened, and he raised an eyebrow at me. Simon swallowed a laugh.
Pink Nighty Girl? Jillian asked,
and I heard Benjamin lean in and tell her he'd explain later.
Okay, that's it, I shouted, and I pointed at Simon. You, a word, please,
I barked, and grabbed him by the arm. I yanked him outside and pulled him down one of the paths that led away from the house. He scrambled along after me, my heels ringing out angrily on the flagstone.
Jesus, slow down, will you?
My response was to dig my nails into his arm, which made him yelp.
Good.
We reached a little enclave set away from the house and the party, far enough away that no one would hear him scream when I removed his balls from his body. I released his arm and rounded on him, pointing a finger in his surprised face.
You've got some nerve telling everyone about me, asshole. What the hell? Pink Nighty Girl? Are you kidding me?
I whisper yelled.
Hey, I could ask you the same question. Why do all those girls in there call me Wallbanger, huh? Who's telling tales now?
He whisper yelled right back.
Are you kidding me? Cockblocker? Just because I refused to spend another night listening to you and your harem does not make me a cockblocker, I hissed. Well, due to the fact that your door banging blocked my cock, it actually does make you a cockblocker. Cockblocker, he hissed back.
This entire conversation was beginning to sound like something that might have happened in fourth grade, except for all the nighties and the cock talk.
Now you listen here, mister, I said, trying for a more adult tone. I'm not going to spend every night listening to you try to crash your girl's head through my wall with the force of your dick alone. No way, buddy.
I pointed a finger at him. He grabbed it.
What I do on my side of the wall is my business. Let's get that straight right now. And why are you so concerned about me and my dick, anyway?
He asked, smirking at me again.
It was the smirk. That damn smirk that made me go ballistic. That and the fact that he was still holding my finger. It is my business when you and your sex train come knocking on my wall every night.
You're really fixated on this, aren't you? Wish you were on the other side of that wall. Are you looking to ride that sex train, Nighty Girl?
He chuckled as he wagged his finger in my face.
Okay, that's it, I growled.
I grabbed his finger in defense, which instantly locked us together. We must have looked like two loggers trying to cut down a tree. We struggled back and forth, beyond ridiculous. We both huffed and puffed, each trying to get the upper hand, each refusing to relent.
Why are you such a man-whoring asshole? I asked, my face inches from his. Why are you such a cock-blocking priss? He asked.
And when I opened my mouth to tell him exactly what I thought,
the fucker kissed me. Kissed me.
Placed his lips on mine and kissed me under the moon and the stars with the sounds of the waves crashing and the crickets cricketing. My eyes were still open, furiously looking back into his. His eyes were so blue, it was like looking at two angry oceans. He pulled away, our fingers still gripping each other's like pliers. I released his hand and slapped him across the face. He looked shocked, even more so as I grabbed his sweater and pulled him closer. I kissed him, this time closing my eyes and letting my hands fill with wool and my nose fill with that warm man smell.
God damn, he smelled good.
His hands crept around to the small of my back, and as soon as he touched me, I realized where I was and what
I was doing. "Damn it," I said, and pulled away. We stood looking at each other, and I wiped at my lips. I started to walk away and then turned back quickly.
"This never happened. Got it?"
I pointed at him again.
"Whatever you say."
He smirked, and I felt my temper flare again.
"And cool it with the pink nighty stuff, okay?"
I whisper yelled, and turned to walk back down the path.
"Until I get to see your other nighties, that's what I'm calling you,"
he shot back, and I almost tripped. I smoothed my dress and headed back to the party.
Unbelievable. "So I told the guy, there is no way I'm organizing your playroom. You can arrange your own riding crops,"
Mimi shrieked, and we all laughed. She can tell a story like nobody's business. She has a knack for bringing a group together, especially when it's new people just getting to know one another. As the party began to wind down, my girls and Simon's guys were gathered around a fire pit on one of the terraces. Dug deep and lined with flagstone, it had benches all around. While the fire cracked merrily, we laughed and drank and told stories. And by that I mean Mimi, Sophia, Neil, and Ryan told stories, while Simon and I glared at each other over the flames. With the sparks flying, if I squinted my eyes a little, I could imagine him roasting in the fires of hell.
"So are we going to address the elephant in the room here?"
Ryan asked, drawing his knees up and placing his beer on the bench next to him.
"Which elephant would that be?"
I asked sweetly, sipping my wine.
"Oh, please! The fact that the guy thumping the headboard off your bed is the hottie across the way, girl,"
Mimi squealed, almost tossing her drink in Neil's face. He laughed along with her, but pried the glass out of her hand before she could do any real damage.
"There really isn't anything to talk about," Simon said. "I have a new neighbor. Her name is Caroline. That's it."
He nodded, eyeing me across the fire. I raised my eyebrow and sipped my wine.
"Yeah, it's nice to know Pink Nighty Girl has a name. The way he described you, wow. I wasn't sure you were real, but you're as hot as he said you were."
Neil hooted at me appreciatively, trying for a moment to fist bump Simon through the flames before he realized how hot they were. My eyes shot to Simon. He grimaced at the description.
"Interesting. So you were the guys banging back at us tonight, listening to Guns N' Roses?"
Sophia asked, nudging Ryan.
"You were the girls singing along, I suppose, yes?"
He nudged back, smiling.
"Small world, isn't it?"
Mimi sighed, gazing up at Neil. He winked at her, and I saw quickly where this was going. She had her giant, Sophia had her hot geek, and I had my wine, which was disappearing by the second.
"Excuse me,"
I muttered, and stood up to find a waiter. I made my way through the dwindling crowd inside the house, nodding at a few faces I recognized. I accepted yet another glass of wine and strolled back outside. I'd started back toward the fire pit when I heard Mimi say,
"And you should have heard Caroline when she told us about the night she banged on his door."
Sophia and Mimi leaned together and said breathlessly,
"He was still hard."
They all dissolved into laughter. I needed to remember to kill those girls tomorrow with pain. I groaned at my public humiliation and spun around to stomp off into the gardens when I saw Simon in the shadows. I tried to back away before he saw me, but he waved.
"Come on, come on. I don't bite," he scoffed.
"Yeah, sure,
I guess,"
I answered,
walking toward him. We stood quietly in the night. I looked out over the bay, enjoying the silence. Then he finally spoke.
"So, I was thinking, since we're neighbors and all," he began.
I turned to look at him. He was giving me a sexy little grin, and I knew that's what he used to make the panties drop. Ha! Little did he know I wasn't wearing any. "You were thinking what? That I'd want to join you some night? See what all the fuss is about? Hop on the welcome wagon? Honey, I have no interest in becoming one of your girls," I answered, glaring at him. He said nothing. "Well?" I asked, tapping my foot angrily. "The nerve of this guy!" "Actually, I was going to say, since we're neighbors and all, maybe we could call a truce," he said quietly, looking at me in a very irritated way. "Oh," I said. It was all I could say. "Or maybe not," he finished, and started to walk away.
"Wait, wait, wait, Simon," I groaned, grabbing him by the wrist as he pushed past me.
He stood there, glaring.
"Yes, fine. We can call a truce. But there will have to be some ground rules," I replied, turning to face him.
He crossed his arms over his chest.
"I should warn you now. I don't enjoy women telling me what to do," he answered darkly.
"Not from what I've heard," I said under my breath, but he caught it anyway.
"That's different," he said, the cockiness beginning to reappear.
"Okay, here's the thing. You enjoy yourself. Do your thing. Hang from the ceiling fans. I don't care. But late at night, can we keep it down to a dull roar? Please? I gotta get some sleep." He considered this for a moment.
"Yes, I can see where that might be a problem. But you know, you don't really know anything about me, and you certainly don't know anything about me and my harem, as you call it. I don't have to justify my life or the women in it to you. So no more nasty judgments. Agreed?"
I considered it. "Agreed. By the way, I appreciated the quiet this week."
"Something happen?" "Happen? What do you mean?"
he asked as we walked back to the group. "I thought maybe you were injured in the line of duty, like your dick broke off or something," I joked, proud to use my zinger again.
"Unbelievable. That's all you think I am, isn't it?"
he retorted, his face angry again.
"A dick? Yes, in fact," I snapped back.
"Now look," he started, and Neil appeared out of nowhere.
"Nice to see you two have kissed and made up," he chided,
pretending to hold Simon back.
"Can it, Anchorman?"
Simon muttered as the rest of the newly paired off reappeared.
"Cool it with the Anchorman, huh?"
Neil said, and Sophia whirled on him.
"Anchorman? Wait a minute. You're the local sports guy on NBC, right? Am I right?"
she asked. I watched his eyes light up. Sophia may have been a classical music kind of girl, but she was also a huge 49ers fan. I was pretty sure the 49ers were a football team.
"Yeah, that's me. You watch a lot of sports?"
he asked, leaning toward her, bringing Mimi along. The way she was clinging to his arm, it was unavoidable. She stumbled a little, and Ryan swooped in to steady her. They smiled at each other as Sophia and Neil continued their football talk. I coughed, reminding them that I was in fact still here.
"Caroline, we're taking off,"
Sophia giggled, now leaning on Ryan's arm. I glared at Simon one more time and stalked toward the girls.
"That's good. I've had enough fun for tonight. I'll call for the car and we can head out in a few,"
I replied, reaching into my bag for my phone.
Actually, Neil was telling us about this great little bar, and we were going to go that way. Do you two want to come?
Mimi interrupted, stopping my hand. She squeezed it, and I saw her shake her head almost imperceptibly.
No,
I asked, raising both eyebrows.
Great. Old Wallbanger here'll make sure you get home okay,
Neil said, clapping Simon roughly on the back.
Yeah, sure,
he said through clenched teeth. Before I could even blink, the four of them were on their way to the Hillivator, saying sloppy goodbyes to Benjamin and Jillian, who just laughed and shared a high five. Wallbanger and I stared at each other, and I suddenly felt exhausted.
Truce? I said tiredly.
Truce, he said, nodding. We left the party together. We drove back across the bridge, with the late-night fog and silence enveloping us. He'd opened the door for me when I approached the rover, probably some ingrained training from his mother. His hand had rested on the small of my back as I climbed in, and then it was gone, and he was around to his side before I even had a chance to make a snarky remark. Maybe it was best. We had called a truce, the second truce within the span of mere minutes. This was going to end badly, I could tell. Still, I would try. I could be neighborly, right?
Neighborly. Ha! That kiss was all kinds of neighborly.
I was trying as hard as I could not to think about it, but it just kept bubbling up. I pressed my fingers to my lips without even realizing it, remembering the feeling of his mouth on mine. His kiss was almost a dare, calling my bluff, a promise of what would follow if I allowed it.
My kiss?
Straight-up instinct that, frankly, surprised me. Why had I kissed him? I had no idea, but I did. It must have looked ridiculous. I'd slapped him, then kissed him like some scene from an old Cary Grant movie. I'd thrown my entire body into my kiss, letting my soft places curve against his strong. My mouth had sought his, and his kiss had grown as eager as mine. There was no fairy tale music, but there was something there, and it had quickly hardened against my thigh. His messing about with the radio brought me back to the present. He appeared quite focused on the music as we drove across the bridge, which made me quite nervous. "Can I help you with that, please?" I asked, looking nervously at the water below.
"No thanks, I got it,"
he said, glancing at me. He must have noticed the way I was peering over the side of the bridge, and he chuckled.
"Okay, sure, go ahead. I mean, you knew every word to Welcome to the Jungle, so you might pick out something good,"
he challenged. He returned his eyes to the road, but even from the side, I could see the approving grin, which, and I hated to admit it, made his jaw look like it had been chiseled out of the hottest piece of granite ever unearthed. "I'm sure I can find something," I sassed, reaching over as he pulled back his arm. His hand grazed against the side of my breast, and we both flinched.
"What are you trying to cop a feel there?"
I snapped, selecting a song.
"Did you or did you not just place your tits in the path of my hand?"
he sniped back. "I think your hand just moved in front of the girl's trajectory, but don't sweat it. You're hardly the first that these celestial beings have brought into their orbit." I sighed dramatically, looking at him sideways to see if he could tell I was joking. The corner of his mouth rose into a grin, and I allowed myself a small smile as well.
"Yes, celestial. That's the word I was going to use.
as in not of this earth, as in suspended in the heavens, as in courtesy of Victoria's Secret. He grinned, and I pretended to be shocked.
Oh, my, you know of the secret? And here I thought we silly girls had you all fooled.
I laughed and settled back into my seat. We'd crossed the bridge and now returned to the city. It takes a lot to fool me, especially when it comes to the opposite sex, he replied, as the music came on. He nodded at my choice.
Too short? Interesting selection. Not many women would have chosen this, he mused.
What can I say? I'm feeling very Bay Area tonight, and I should tell you now, I am not like most women, I added, feeling another smile sneak across my face.
I'm beginning to get that, he said.
We were quiet for a few minutes, then suddenly both started to speak at once.
So what do you think about... I began.
Can you believe that they all... he said.
Go ahead, I chuckled.
No, what were you going to say?
I was going to say, so what do you think about our friends tonight?
That's actually what I was going to say. I couldn't believe they just up and left us.
He laughed, and I couldn't help but laugh along with him. He had a great laugh.
I know,
but my girls know what they want.
I couldn't have painted two better guys for them. They're exactly what they look for, I confided, leaning against the window so I could watch him as we navigated the hilly streets.
Yeah, Neil has a weakness for Asian girls, and I swear that sounded less pervy in my head. And Ryan loves him some leggy redheads,
he laughed again, glancing over to see if I was okay with his leggy redhead comment.
I was. She was.
Well, I'm sure I'll hear all about it tomorrow, what kind of impression they made on my ladies. I'll get the full report. Don't you worry. I sighed. My phone would be ringing off the hook. Silence crept back in, and I wondered what to say next.
So, how do you know Benjamin and Jillian?
He asked, saving me from small talk fever. I work for Jillian at the firm. I'm an interior designer.
Wait. Hold up. You're that Caroline?
He asked. I have no idea what that means, I answered, wondering why he was staring at me now.
Damn. It really is a small world, he exclaimed, shaking his head from side to side as though trying to clear it.
He was silent as I sat there in limbo. Hey, want to clear that up a bit? What did you mean, that Caroline? I finally questioned, slapping his shoulder.
It's just that... well, huh. Jillian has mentioned you before. Let's leave it at that, he said.
Hell no, we won't leave it at that. What did she say? I pushed, slapping again at his shoulder.
Would you cut that out? You're really rough, you know that? He said.
There were simply too many ways I could go with that comment, so I wisely kept quiet. What did she say about me? I asked quietly, now worried that perhaps she'd said something about my work. My nerves were already shot. And now they were pinging. He looked over at me.
No, no, it's nothing like that, he said quickly. It's nothing bad. It's just that, well, Jillian adores you. And she adores me. Of course, right?
I rolled my eyes but played along.
And, well, she might have mentioned a few times... that she thought I should meet you.
He dragged out, only to wink at me when I met his eyes.
Oh. Oh.
I breathed as I realized what he meant. I blushed. Jillian, that little matchmaking shit. Does she know about the harem? I asked.
Would you quit with that? Don't call them the harem. You make it sound so shady. What if I told you those three women were incredibly important to me, that I care a lot about them, that the relationships I have with them work for us, and no one else needs to understand it. Got it? He said, pulling the Rover to an angry stop at the curb outside our building. I was quiet as I studied my hands and watched him rake his through his already messed up hair.
Hey, you know what? You're right. Who am I to say what's right or wrong for anyone else? If it works for you, great. Hit it, Mazel Tov. I'm just surprised Jillian would want to set you up with me. She knows I'm a pretty traditional girl, that's all, I explained. He grinned and turned the force of his blue eyes on me.
As it happens, she doesn't know everything about me. I keep my private life private, with the exception of my neighbor with the thin walls and the devastating lingerie,
he said in a low voice that could melt, well, anything.
My brain was most certainly among those things, seeing as I suddenly felt it oozing out of my ears and on down to my collar.
Except for her, I muttered, thoroughly scrambled. He let out a dark laugh and opened his door. He kept his eyes on mine as he strode around the car and opened my door. I climbed down, taking the hand he offered me, and almost not noticing that he traced a tiny circle on the inside of my left hand with his right thumb.
Almost didn't notice it, my ass.
It made my skin pebble and lower Caroline sit up straight. Nerves? Shooting like fireworks all over the place. We walked inside the building, and he once again opened the door for me. He really was charming. I had to give him that. So how do you know Benjamin and Jillian? I asked, walking up the stairs ahead of him. I knew for certain he was checking out my legs. And why wouldn't he? I had great stems, currently flattered by my flouncy little dress.
Benjamin's been a friend of my family's for years. I've known him practically my whole life. He also manages my investments,
Simon answered as we rounded the first floor and started on the second. I looked over my shoulder and confirmed his peeking at my legs.
Ha! Caught him.
Ooh, your investments. Have a few savings bonds left over from birthdays there, moneybags? I teased. He chuckled.
Yeah, something like that.
We continued up the stairs. It's curious, don't you think? I offered.
Curious?
He asked, his voice slipping over me like warm honey.
Well, I mean, Benjamin and Jillian both knowing us, us meeting at a party like this, and you being the one who's been keeping me nocturnally amused all these weeks.
Small world, I suppose. We rounded the top stair, and I got my keys out.
San Francisco's a big city, but it can feel like a small town in some ways, he offered. But yes, it's curious. Intriguing, even. Who knew that the nice designer Jillian wanted to set me up with was actually Pink Nighty Girl? Had I known, I might have taken her up on it, he replied, that damnable grin back on his beautiful face.
Damn it, why couldn't he have stayed an asshole?
Yes, but Pink Nighty Girl would have said no. After all, thin walls and all, I winked, making a fist and thumping on the wall next to my door.
I could hear Clive prattling around behind the door, and I needed to get inside before he began to wail.
Ah, yes, thin walls. Well, good night, Caroline. Truce is still on, right?
He asked, turning toward his door. truce is still on. Unless you do something to make me mad again. I laughed, leaning in the doorway.
Oh, count on that.
And Caroline?
Speaking of thin walls,
he said, as he opened his door and looked back at me. He leaned in his own doorway, thumping his fist on the wall. Yes, I asked, a little too dreamily for my own good. The smirk reappeared, and he said,
"Sweet dreams."
He thumped the wall one more time, winked, and went inside. Huh. Sweet dreams and thin walls.
Sweet dreams and thin walls.
Mother of Pearl, he'd heard me. Chapter 7 Poke.
Grrr.
Poke. Need, need. Poke.
Enough.
Need, need, need. Headbutt.
I realize you don't know how to read a calendar, but you should know when it's Sunday. Seriously, Clive?
Hard headbutt. I rolled over away from Clive's headbutts and persistent poking and pulled the covers over my head. Flashes of the night before kept appearing. Simon in Jillian's kitchen, with the intro heard round the world. His friends calling me Pink Nighty Girl. Benjamin putting two and two together when he learned I was the Pink Nighty Girl. Kissing Simon.
Kissing Simon.
No! No kissing Simon! I snuggled deeper under the covers.
Sweet dreams and thin walls.
Sheer mortification washed over me as I remembered his parting words. I burrowed farther under the covers. My heart beat faster, thinking about how embarrassed I'd been. Heart, pay no attention to that girl below the covers. Last night had been decidedly dream-free. But to make sure no one, Simon, could hear me screaming in passion, I'd slept with the TV on. The revelation that Simon had heard me dreaming of him had thrown me for such a loop that I flipped endlessly through the channels, trying to find something that would not sound like me having my own version of the Simon wet dream. I ended up on the all-infomercial channel, which, of course, kept me up later than I'd planned. Everything they sold was fascinating. I had to pry the cell phone out of my own hand at 3:30 a.m. when I almost ordered the slap chop, to say nothing of the half hour I will never get back after watching Bowser trying to sell me the Time Life collection of songs from the 50s. All this was in addition to listening to the sounds of Tommy Dorsey coming through the wall. They made me smile. I can't lie. I stretched lazily under the sheet, stifling a giggle as I watched the shadow of Clive stalking me, trying to figure out a way in. He tried every angle as I deflected his advances. Finally, he resumed his poke-poke, need approach, and I popped my head back up to laugh at him. I could handle this thing with Simon. I didn't have to be totally embarrassed. Sure, my O was gone, maybe for forever. Sure, I'd been having sex dreams about my overly attractive and overly confident neighbor, and sure, said neighbor had heard these dreams and commented on them, getting the last word in an already extremely bizarre evening. But I could handle this. Of course I could. I'd just acknowledge it before he could. Take the wind out of his sails, as it were. He didn't always have to have the last word. I could recover from this and keep our ridiculous little truce going.
I'm totally screwed.
Just then, I heard the alarm go off next door, and I froze. Then I recovered and slipped back under the covers, leaving just my eyes peeping over.
Wait, why was I hiding? He couldn't see me.
I heard him slap at the alarm clock, and his feet hit the floor.
Why was he up so early?
When all was quiet, you truly could hear through these walls.
How the hell did I not realize before that if I could hear him, he could obviously hear me?
I felt my face color as I thought of my dreams again, but then I got control. This was further aided by Clive headbutting the small of my back in an attempt to physically push me from the bed to give him his breakfast.
Okay, okay, let's get up. God, you're such a little jerk sometimes, Clive.
He fired back a reply over his cat shoulder as he stalked toward the kitchen. After getting Mr. Clive fed and running myself through the shower, I headed out to meet the girls for brunch. I was leaving the building while looking at my phone, answering a text from Mimi, when I collided with a wet, hot wall of Simon.
Whoa!
I cried as I teetered backward. His arm shot out and caught me just before I went from flustered to flat-out wrong and on my bottom.
"Where are you running off to this morning?"
he asked as I took him in. Sweaty white T-shirt, black running shorts, damp curly hair, iPod, and a grin.
"You're sweaty,"
I word vomited.
"I am sweaty. It happens,"
he added, sweeping the back of his hand across his forehead, making his hair stand straight up. I had to physically block the neurons from my brain, trying to get to my fingers with instructions to lift and nestle, lift and nestle. He stared down at me, his blue eyes twinkling. He'd make this painful if I didn't go ahead and out the giant sex elephant in the room.
"So listen, about last night," I started. "What about last night? The part where you were berating me about my sex life, or the part where you were sharing my sex life with your friends?"
he asked, raising an eyebrow and raising his T-shirt to wipe his face. I drew in a breath that sounded like a wind tunnel as I stared at abs that could almost be speed bumps. Why couldn't he be a soft, fat neighbor?
"No, I mean, the crack you made about the sweet dreams and the, well, the thin walls," I stammered, avoiding all contact.
I was suddenly fascinated by my new shade of toenail polish.
It was lovely. "Ah, yes, the thin walls. Well, they work both ways, you know. And if someone were to, say, have a very interesting dream some night, well, let's just say it would be quite entertaining,"
he whispered. My knees went a little wobbly. Damn him and his voodoo. I had to get in control. I backed up a step.
"Yes, you may have heard something I would have preferred you not hear, but that's not the way things always go down. So, you got me. But you won't actually ever have me, so let's move on. You got that? And brunch, by the way,"
I finished, concluding my diatribe. He looked confused and amused at the same time.
"Brunch, by the way?"
"Brunch. You asked where I was off to this morning, and my answer is brunch."
"Ah, got it. And are you meeting your girls who were out with my guys last night?"
"I am, and I will gladly share the scoop with you if it's any good," I laughed, twirling a piece of hair around my finger.
"Nice.
Flirting 101.
What the hell?" "Oh, I'm sure it's good scoop. Those two look like man-eaters,"
he said, rocking back on his heels as he began to stretch a bit.
Are we talking Hannibal?
No, more like Hall & Oates.
He laughed, looking up at me as he stretched his hamstrings.
Christ, hamstrings.
Yes, well, they can definitely work a room when they need to, I said thoughtfully, beginning to back away again.
And how about you?
He asked, standing straight. How about me what?
Oh, I bet Pink Nighty Girl can work any room she wants.
He chuckled, his eyes twinkling.
Eh, work this,
I fired back, and walked away with a twinkle of my own.
Nice,
he added when I shot him a look over my shoulder.
Oh, please, like you're not intrigued,
I called back from about 10 feet away.
Oh, I'm intrigued,
he shouted as I walked backward, shaking my hips while he applauded. Too bad I don't work well with others. I ain't no harem girl, I yelled, practically at the corner.
True still on?
He yelled. I don't know. What does Simon say?
Oh, Simon says, hell yes, it's on,
he shouted back as I rounded the corner. I twirled about, actually doing a little pirouette. I smiled big as I bounced along, thinking a truce was a very good thing. Egg white omelet with tomatoes, mushrooms, spinach, and onions.
Pancakes, 4 stack, please, with a side of bacon. And I'll need the bacon very crispy, please, but not blackened.
2 eggs, sunny side up. Rye toast with butter on the side, and the fruit salad. After ordering, we settled in for a morning of coffee and gossip.
Okay, so tell me what happened after we left last night,
Mimi said, placing her chin in her hands and blinking prettily at me.
After you left? You mean after you left me with my jerky neighbor to drive me home? What were you thinking? And telling everyone the he was still hard story? Seriously? I'm writing you both out of my will, I snapped,
swallowing coffee that was too hot and instantly searing off a third of my taste buds. I let my tongue hang out of my mouth to cool.
First of all, we told that story because it's funny, and funny is good,
Sophia began, fishing a piece of ice out of her water glass and handing it to me.
Thank you,
I managed, accepting the cube. She nodded.
And second, you have nothing to leave me anyway, as I already have the entire set of Barefoot Contessa cookbooks, which you bought me yourself. So write me out of the will. And third, the two of you were being such downers, there was no way we were taking you out with our new boys,
Sophia finished, smiling wickedly.
New boys? I love new boys,
Mimi clapped, looking like a Disney cartoon.
How was the ride home?
Sophia asked.
The ride home.
Well, it was interesting, I sighed, now sucking on the cube with wild abandon.
Interesting good? Mimi squealed.
If you call stooping someone on the Golden Gate Bridge interesting, then yes, I replied, calmly drumming my fingers on the table. Mimi's mouth began to fall from her face when Sophia placed her right hand over Mimi's left, which was about to squeeze her fork into something unrecognizable.
Sweetie, she's kidding. We would know if Caroline had been stooped last night. She'd have better skin tone,
Sophia soothed. Mimi nodded quickly and released the fork. I pitied any guy who pissed her off during a hand job.
So, no dish?
Sophia asked.
Hey, you know the rules. You dish,
I answered, eyes widening as our breakfast was served. After we dug in, Mimi fired the first shot.
Did you know that Neil played football for Stanford, and that he always wanted to go into sports broadcasting?
She offered,
methodically separating her melon from her berries.
Good to know. Good to know.
Did you know Ryan sold some kind of amazing computer program to Hewlett-Packard when he was just 23? And that he put all the money in the bank, quit his job, and spent 2 years teaching English to kids in Thailand? Sophia provided next.
That's very good to know as well.
Did you know that Simon doesn't consider his lady friends a harem, and Jillian at one point actually told him about me as a potential girl he should be dating? We all hummed and chewed. Then began round two. Did you know that Neil loves to windsurf, and he has tickets to the symphony benefit next week? When he found out I was already going with you, Sophia, he suggested we double.
That sounds fun.
I was thinking of asking Ryan, who, by the way, also loves to windsurf. They all do. They surf in the bay whenever they can. And I can also report that he now runs a charity that puts computers and educational materials into inner-city schools all over California. It's called, Sophia began.
No line for online?
Mimi quickly finished. Sophia nodded.
I love that charity. I give to that organization every year, and Ryan is the one who runs it? Wow.
Small world, Mimi mused, as she began to cut her eggs. Quiet descended while we chewed again, and I tried to come up with something else to say about Simon that didn't have anything to do with his kissing me, my kissing him, or his being aware of my nocturnal verbal emissions. Simon has too short on his iPod, I mumbled, which was met with hmms. But I knew my gossip wasn't as good.
Music is important. Who was that guy you were dating who had his own album out? Mimi asked.
No. He didn't have an album out. He was trying to sell his own CDs out of the back of his car. Not the same thing. I laughed.
You dated another singer, too. Coffee House Joe. Remember him?
Sophia snorted into her breakfast.
Yes, he was about 15 years too late for the flannel, but he got an A for angst and was more than decent in bed, I sighed, thinking back.
When is this self-imposed dating hiatus going to be over?
Mimi asked.
Not sure. I kind of like not dating anyone.
Please, who are you kidding?
Sophia snorted again.
You need a tissue over there, Miss Piggy?
Seriously, there have been too many Coffee House Joes and Machine Gun Corys. I'm not interested in just dating anymore. It's too much of a merry-go-round. I'm not investing any more time and effort until I know it's going somewhere. And besides, O's off in no man's land. I might as well join her, I added, trying some coffee again and avoiding their eyes. They had their O's, and now they had new boys. I didn't expect anyone to join me on my dating sabbatical, but now their faces just looked so sad. I needed to turn this back to them.
So, last night was good for you guys, huh?
Any kisses at the door? Any spit swapping? I asked, smiling cheerfully.
Yes. I mean, Neil kissed me.
Mimi sighed.
Ooh, I bet he's a good kisser. Did he wrap you up tight and run his hands up and down your back? He has great hands. Did you notice his hands? Damn fine hands,
Sophia rambled, face in her pancake stack.
Mimi and I exchanged a glance and waited for her to come up for air.
When she saw us staring, she blushed a little.
What? I noticed his hands. They're huge. How could you not?
She stammered and crammed her mouth full so we would move on. I giggled and turned my attention back to Mimi.
So, did Mr.